All right. Hey, guys, my name is Anthony Bandiero. This is the Search and Seizure Show. This is where, you know, after I do my webinars, I take live questions. And the way this is works is that, look, no cameras, but I like to do like a call-in show. I want to talk to you guys. I want to explain, you know, what I know and what I think the law is. If you have any questions, I just did a webinar on trespassing. So maybe some people may have some follow-up questions on that. We also have any questions on the table, as long as it's, you know, Fourth Amendment, Fifth Amendment related, First Amendment, and so forth. So if you have a question, all you got to do is say me and so forth. Then I'll turn your microphone on. You'll have to approve that. No cameras. Don't worry about that. You're just going to see me, but you'll hear your microphone, and we'll talk and see if we can figure out what the best answer is. All right. So let's, Emmanuel, you want to kick it off? All right. Let's kick it off with Emmanuel. A few manuals here today.
Hello.
All right. What's up, man?
How's it going, Anthony?
Good. Always good. What you got?
I got a couple questions, but I think this is this one's protective order, or so in Maryland we call it protective orders. I guess in every state. Calls it differently.
EPOs, TPOs.
Yeah, right.
Yep.
All right. Get a protective order, and it's from the, you know, on the protective order, you know, it says vacate the property, do not abuse, etc. But then this specific protective order, there's a stipulation in it that says custody, and then there's a line that says that law enforcement will use reasonable force. Mm-hmm. Necessary in order to give the kid back to the awarding parent until the protective, until the court date or whatever the case is. This is this to me is really like controversial in my opinion, because sometimes we'll get protective orders issued by a court commissioner, and in Maryland a court commissioner can only issue an interim. And then they'll go see a judge, and then they'll issue a temporary and then a final. Final. And sometimes that custody issue is there. My question is, if the parent does not have the child with them, and they're like, yeah, I know where my kid is, but I'm not telling you. Mm-hmm. I mean, are they really violating the protective order? Because mm-hmm. they don't have the kid. The kid is elsewhere, is with grandma or whatever the case might
sure.
be. But it's saying use reasonable force to get the kid. And I in my kid, I'm like, damn, do I really want to lock this lady up? The kid's not even with her, number one.
No, but
what
I
if,
don't think.
What if I use.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what if I have to use force? And number two, like, how far do we take this? Let's say she does have the kid and she like, no, I'm not giving you my kid. And she slams the door on us like. I don't know, man. Like, to me personally, like, what grounds do we have? Like, I feel like that's just pushing the envelope on something. It's just like a protective order that can be squashed later on, you know?
Yeah, no, I think I have your answer. First of all, you know, I can't give you legal advice because you have your own state's attorneys for that. But let me just give you some advice that I think is helpful. Number one is that protective order is not a search warrant, right? So, it's enforceable. I mean, if you disobey it, it has consequences. We know that, right? We can get arrested for that. It's probably a mandatory arrest in Maryland, right? But here's the deal. By the way, it's very common to say things like to use reasonable force to get the kids and reasonable force to give the one parent the car or the house. It is, you know, because otherwise how do you enforce it? If people like, say, I'm not, you know, the kids are in the car, for example, I'm not giving you these kids, right? You can hold that person and get the kids out of the car. It's just, you can use reasonable force. And the law is just telling you that the use of force, hopefully very minor, hopefully, you know, we're not talking about deadly force, of course, but the use of force is authorized by law, right? Because it's a civil thing, but you need empowerment to do that. Like, where do you get the authority to hold a person and then open their car and take the kids out and give it to another parent, right? You know, that's not by statute. That's not by the Fourth Amendment. That's by a court order. So there is no, there's no issue there. Okay. The next thing is, and it is what it is. And, you know, anytime you get involved with a civil dispute, there's always a lot of emotions running high. But the second thing is, if the person does not want to tell you where the kids are, I don't know what you are going to do. I don't, first of all, see that. I don't see how the court can't, the court can't compel people to speak, right? And so you're at a conundrum there. If you don't know where the kids are, then you can't use reasonable force to recover the kids. Does that make sense? Like, you're just stuck. And, right? So it is what it is. You're just going to have to save it for another day. Does that make sense? Like, and then finally, even if you knew where the kids are, let's say the kids are at grandma's, and grandma, nobody's willing to cooperate with you. Everybody's saying, you're not coming in this house. You cannot go into that house. Because unless there is separate facts that the kids are in immediate or imminent danger, which would be exigency, right? That court order does not give you the authority to enter any home. It only gives you authority to use force, reasonable force, if you have some kind of access to the kids. Like, they're right there. Like, you see the dad walking down the street with his two kids, and the mom is allowed to have them. You can take the kids from the dad. It is what it is. That's what the order says. But you can't go into his home, right? The judge didn't authorize that. So at the end of the day, these are limited, but it's very common. I mean, cops do this every day in America, right? You use reasonable force to effectuate a court order. Feedback?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. No, I agree. And of course, most of my questions are experienced. I had this like roughly 2 weeks ago. Lady was like, I'm not giving my kid to him. And I was like, all right, so where's the kid? And they're like, I'm not telling you. She ended up telling us the grandparents, but the grandparents of another county. And then the supervisor called the state attorney. State attorney, like, oh, you can arrest her for, because she didn't give up the kid. I'm like, I don't think so. I mean,
well, look, your state's attorney is always going to win these battles. Look, I'm not an expert in statutory law in Maryland. I'm not. I just don't see, based on what you're saying to me, I'm not aware of what law is being violated there. You could say obstruction, but I don't know how that's a lawful order to compel people to speak. But look, your state's attorney will always, if they're telling you to do it, then they obviously know the law better than most cops. I want to get another caller on here. That's the best I can answer on that one, because kind of like a statutory thing. Do you have one more search and seizure question or no?
I do, but let's give other people a chance. I'm not going to try to tie up the radio here.
All right, stand by. Let me see if I can get what was the other guy? Matt S. Thank you again, Emmanuel. All right, Matt S. There he is. All right, Matt, turn your mic on.
Hey, what's up, man? Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Where are you from, by the way? What state?
Texas.
Good, perfect. What you got?
So this might be able to fall in with this trespass stuff a little bit, but are you familiar with these facial recognition AI softwares at all, like Clearview Yes. AI, arrest.org?
Mm-hmm.
So with those, can somebody not allow you to take their photo if they're detained, but you do, like Texas, for example, I do not have the ability to force identification. So whether or not it's with a criminal trespass, just a regular detention, or maybe even a traffic stop, if I'm not extending my stop, can I take my phone out, a work phone, and take a photo of a driver or a passenger who does not want me to ID? And to kind of elaborate on that more, they're saying, no, you can't take my picture, even though we're already on body camera, things like that.
So the answer is yes, right? Because there is no, I'm not aware of any Texas law that prohibits this. Number one, first of all, you have the software on your phone. So your agency is paying a subscription fee for that software, right? They have it for a reason. And number two, the courts have held that a person does not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in the way they look, the way that they sound, or their handwriting, right? So at the end of the day, he may not want you to take his picture, but you're not violating his rights by taking it regardless. The problem is going to be this. Is the guy in handcuffs? Probably, right?
Possibly.
Because the problem is this. If he's not in handcuffs and he goes like this, you know, are you really going to, you know, how much force are we going to use? We're talking about the force on the protective order issue, right? How much force are we going to use to take his picture, you know?
Agreed.
Are we going to slam him to the ground? Are we going to potentially hurt him, or are we going to get hurt? Is it going to look really bad on camera?
I'd agree.
Doing all this. So you know, you may win the legal argument for the picture, but I just don't think, I think the courts would have a problem with the force if you don't have a compelling need at the end of the day. Unfortunately, we have this problem all the time with trespassing, where there is just no legal mechanism to force people to identify themselves in order to, you know, confirm that they've been trespassed before. It's a loophole in the system. And hopefully it'll work itself out in most events, because we have video, we have body cam, we have memory. But yeah, I'm with you on that. So take the picture. If they're in handcuffs, I would take the picture. You know, if they're going like awesome. This, just take the picture. But if they're
and so traffic face, stops, that's been the biggest one we've been using it on with a lot of success. And so as long as we're not extending the stop, we're good to go all day.
Well, why would you? But first of all, why? Yeah, if you're not extending the stop, but why are you taking their picture anyway if you don't have an issue with their identity? Aren't you? Isn't that the concern that do you have any issue that they may have not, they may be lying about their identity?
Yeah. So whether it's just a verbal name date of birth, you're getting nothing in the system, or it's a passenger, multiple passengers. We're starting a narcotics investigation.
Yeah.
No PC to arrest a passenger, but they've got that look, and we want to figure out who they are. And we've been picking up a lot of people on warrants with that stuff lately.
Good. Well, I'll tell you, I get the answer. So it's two different answers. If you have reason to believe that the driver is lying to you, like they, you know, they tell you, yeah, I'm from Georgia and I had a Georgia license, but I just don't have it on me. Right. Well, you have reasonable suspicion that they're lying, because
Okay. Nobody
purges their records from DMV. Nobody gets purged. Right. So if they're not coming back, you know, now you deal with a lot of migrants in Texas, that might come back. So that's different. So that one, I believe for the most part, you could extend the traffic stop to use that facial recognition, because the facial recognition is a means to dispel or confirm that your suspicions that they're lying to you about their identification. Because in Texas, well, the driver has to identify themselves anyway. So if you are not, if you're not satisfied with their identification, I think that's a reasonable mode to, you know, to confirm that. The passengers, of course, are totally different, right? You cannot, you know, generally speaking, extend a traffic stop to try to, you know, consensually, well, maybe consensually, but, you know, to identify passengers. You should be very careful with that, at least. I mean, the Fifth Circuit is way better than the Ninth Circuit on this issue. You know, you can ask passengers for their ID. You know, you might be able to run them a little bit, unless it's like a Greyhound bus, right? But I would be careful with facial recognition on passengers and adding a lot of time to the stop.
Okay, but if we're pushing a narcotics investigation, no PC on the passengers, we've got consent or PC to search a car, and we just start working on the passenger who's just been refusing to ID the whole time, no problem with an officer doing that while we're
no problem
searching
with that,
a car with a PC search. Cool.
But just so we're clear about this, though, if you have probable cause that there's narcotics in the car, right?
Yes.
You, generally speaking, probably have RS that the passengers are in on it. Generally speaking.
Agreed.
I mean, especially if it's some kind of, you know, you're making me seem like you're maybe a little more high level than, you know, a tweaker holding a couple grams. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have reason to believe that there might be an enterprise here, right? Some kind of conspiracy, mm-hmm. then you have reasonable suspicion as to them, and you should try to identify them, right? Right? You should try.
Absolutely, I mean, should try, but until I can connect them to a little bit of dope or something, I don't have to compel them.
Correct.
I can't compel them.
Not in Texas. Texas does not have a stop and identify statute, correct?
Correct.
I mean, many states do. Nevada, you know, other states, but not Texas. So yeah, correct. You are absolutely correct. Okay, good.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So, and I don't know where Matt, I'm actually going to be in El Paso on Thursday and Friday. You're not near El Paso by any chance, are you?
It's a pretty good drive, but I am absolutely planning on making a class sooner or later.
Now, are you not Texas DPS, are you?
No, sir. PD, Burleson PD. It's
nice, nice.
Fort Worth area.
I just want to bring that up because I got hired by Texas DPS to train the whole state. So it's really, so
nice.
I'll be out there. Yeah. Teaching a room full of big hats on Wednesday.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. Okay. So who's next? Who's next here? Let me see. Elliot. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Ryan is on deck. Ryan, which there's a lot of people here. So Ryan, there we go. Okay. Ryan, you're on deck, my friend.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, my friend. What you got?
So out of California, just kind of a follow up to the trespass stuff. So typically we get like two general texts to the calls. Like one is subject's refusing to leave and we just go there and handle it. And the other is that the person calling has not gone out and talked to them yet because they don't want to talk to the people and they want us to just move them along. So I guess I'm just kind of confused. Are both of those scenarios okay for us to issue like 602 notices?
Okay. Or so 602 is the trespass notice, right?
Sorry, yeah, the trespass
notice. No, it's common. It's, you know, Nevada calls them one thing. But here's the deal. So let's talk about the first guy, right? If you're going to that call and your MDT is saying that the person is refusing to leave, right? Well, that is PC. You would agree with that. There's probable cause that person has violated the law, right? Because they don't get second and third chances. They don't, you know, they've already been told to leave and they're refusing. So now, look, when you get there, if something changes and you're like, oh, no, that wasn't correct, whatever it was, then you can always, you know, pull back, right? You can say, nah, we're not going to issue any citation here. So the crime has already occurred. So whether you have a 602 notice, whether you're going to do a citizen cite, whatever you're going to do in California, it is what it is, right? The law is in your favor. The PC is already there. So far, so good. And also, I see this issue with, you know, the people leaving before you arrive, because oftentimes the proprietor would say, hey, you need to leave. And they're like, I'm not leaving. I'm minding my own business. You can't tell me to leave. And then they call the cops. And then the proprietor comes back out of the business and says, hey, I called the cops on you. They're on their way. Right. And then the person says, well, shit, I don't want any trouble with the fuzz. And so they start walking away. The question by cops is, can we detain that guy? And the answer is yes, because according to what you know, it wasn't committing your presence, but that's only for arresting people, right? But, you know, you can still cite people for crimes that are not committing your presence. That's obviously, it happens all the time. So far, so good. Do you agree with that or no?
Yeah.
Now let's talk about the guy who just wants to be trespassed. The business wants you to do the trespassing because you're the muscle and they don't have the confidence or whatever to address these people. You can absolutely give them any notice you want, but it has to be consensual, right? Because in California, no crime has occurred yet and you have no reasonable suspicion for a crime. And so unless they're in a place where they're not allowed to be, right? I mean, you know, California has a very complex trespass statute, but if they're in, you know, a part of the business they're not allowed to be, if they there's evidence that they entered with the intent to commit a crime, you know what I'm saying? But the point is, if they're just hanging out in front of the liquor store and the owner wants them trespassed, you can absolutely go up to them and say, hey, look, partner, the business doesn't want you here. You know, and basically kind of have this mentality of hopefully you'll stick around and get the 602 order, which is identifying them, right? And letting them know what, that they're not allowed to be back for whatever certain amount of time. Is that what this is all about? This order?
Yeah.
But it has to be consensual. If you make them feel that they are not free to leave, then where is that authority? Where does the cop get the authority to make this person not feel to free leave when they are supposed to do exactly that, right? The law says that if they've been told to leave, they're supposed to leave. So if you make it feel like they're detained, then to me, that's an unlawful seizure and it can have consequences. Now, look, at the end of the day, I mean, let's be honest. Like if you detain the guy and you give him the 602 order and then he just leaves, why would he want to sue you? You know what I'm saying? But there's going to be a cop out there in California that thinks that he or she has the authority to detain this person, to give him this order. And then the guy's going to want to leave and do exactly what the law is supposed to tell him to do. And they're going to use force on this guy. The guy's going to get hurt and he's going to sue. And the cop is going to be in federal court. But the ultimate question is, what gave you the authority to put hands on my client? My client was told to leave and that's what exactly we want to do. But you kept him anyway to give him some order, which is, I mean, it's nice to give them that order, right? But the law, you can't detain somebody for not committing a crime. That's how I look at it. And unless I'm wrong, please tell me I'm wrong. If I'm missing something, but does the law say that you have the authority to detain people that are complying with the order to leave? To your knowledge?
No, right? That's a good point.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, like you said, most of the time it's people just outside of businesses and they call us to just, hey, we want this guy trespassed.
Yep,
exactly. And a lot of times they haven't talked to them and they haven't even gone out there. They just don't want them lingering around. They want us to give them a trespass notice.
It happens every single day. You know what I mean? Yeah. And the way you do it is, sir, they want you to go, you know, before, you know, you get gone, you know, can I see some ID? Right? Fine. Right? right? Fine. The guy would probably feel free to leave, right? But if the cop is like, hey, they want you gone. Let me see your, give me your ID. Hold up for a second. I got to give you this card, whatever, you know, in Nevada, they call it a red card. You have a problem there. You know, that's not lawful. Where is the authority to detain that guy? So if you make it feel like he's free to leave, you're fine. But if he wants to leave, you can't just hold him and be like, no, you are going to identify yourself, because PC 148 doesn't have identification requirement either. And he has not even committed that, right? He's not suspected of criminal activity. He's being told to leave. So there you go.
All right.
So make it consensual. Ask him for his ID. If he wants to leave, let him go. That's what I would say.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. So who's next? Elliot? All right. All right. What you got, Elliot?
Anthony, how are you doing today, sir?
Good, my friend. I like that picture. You got the four-wheeler.
Yeah, yeah. That was the honeymoon.
Nice. Nice. So you're that's a nice honeymoon.
Yeah.
On the back of a four-wheeler. Hey, honey, we're going hunting for our honeymoon.
Yeah, it sure was. It was great. Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, sir. So this case has been on my mind for a few months, and it just hasn't sat right with me. And, you know, me and including my shiftmates, we'd love to hear your point of view.
Okay.
And I'll give you mine. So just I'll give you a brief little synopsis of kind of what happened. I'll tell you what I think, and then I'd love to hear what you.
And what state are we in?
Austin, Texas. Okay, so in discussing this case, I'll use pseudonyms for the suspect and victim just to respect the privacy.
Yeah, absolutely. Protect the innocent. Yep.
So on this night, I responded to a gun hotshot call reporting a man being chased by another man. The call also mentioned theft from a store. Upon my arrival, I met with Aaron, the complainant. At the convenience store, Aaron, a licensed security officer, frequently works at multiple convenience stores locations in the area. However, he wasn't on duty at this particular convenience store that night. I'm familiar with Aaron. I've met with him a few times on previous calls, so I've seen him.
He's just Aaron there hanging out, though. He happens to be there.
Yeah, yeah. So Aaron, on this night, was not dressed normally as... he wasn't dressed as he normally was. Aaron typically wears a security uniform with a vest, although tonight Aaron was dressed in jean shorts, flip-flops, and a hoodie. Aaron stated he entered the convenience store and he noticed a young male, Robert, running out of the store. The store attendant indicated that Robert had stolen something.
Okay.
Aaron then chased Robert but couldn't catch him, so Aaron's friend, who was with him, got into Aaron's vehicle and followed Robert. Robert managed to reach his apartment before they could catch him. While Robert was trying to get access into his room, Aaron's friend tackled him, causing him injury, and took Robert's backpack containing the stolen items. The backpack, which was open, clearly displaying the stolen items, while Robert laid on the ground, Aaron then arrived to the hotel, so Aaron's friend went to go open the door. Meanwhile, Robert took this opportunity to stand up and go in his room. Aaron then approaches Robert's apartment door, drew a firearm, held it at the sewell position, knocked on the door, demanding Robert to come outside. Mm-hmm. Robert did. Aaron holstered his gun, placed Robert's hands behind his back, and forcibly moved Robert to his car and sat him there. Robert was unsure of Aaron's identity and asked him for his ID. Aaron then tried to get his friend to find his badge in his car. When he wasn't able to find it, Aaron pulls out his phone and shows a picture of himself standing next to two canine officers. Mm-hmm. This left Robert confused, as Aaron neither confirmed nor denied being law enforcement. Robert,
he implied it to some degree.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right? So yeah. Robert begged for someone to call police. Eventually someone called, blah, blah, blah. Through my investigation, though, including reviewing camera footage, Robert's story aligned more with the evidence. Aaron had omitted key facts such as pulling Robert out of his home with a gun,
right.
also initially stating to me that Robert left his backpack at the convenience store, which Aaron actually took from him and then left it there. So this raised suspicions that Aaron knew he had acted improperly. Mm-hmm. So due to this case's complexity, I was advised to bring both of the individuals down to detectives for questioning.
Yep.
Detectives reviewed the case and cited CCP 1816, which is Prevention Consequences of Theft, and sections 9.42 and 9.43, which, if you're not familiar, are deadly force to prevent property and property of third person and protection of a third person's property. So after this discussion, they made the decision that Aaron's actions were legal, and additionally, he wasn't impersonating a police officer. So I have been going everywhere to try and find case law and everything. The only case law I could find is State v. Moraga. And in that, they state, the court also considered the proportionality and immediacy of the threat of the third person's property. Do you think that this security guard who was not on duty, but still a civilian, and they can prevent the commission of theft, do you think that the proportionality and the immediacy of him to prevent that theft was correct? Do you think he was in the right?
But no, let me ask you this, though. Are we looking to charge the security guard? Or are we just looking to see if we can even bring this case against the...
No, absolutely. I put him in handcuffs because I was looking at... They assaulted him, I said, with injuries, so they hurt him. They tackled him. So I'm looking at robbery because they stole the backpack. They didn't just retrieve the items within the backpack. They took the backpack. So that's robbery. And then after that...
Okay, go ahead.
So, and that point, you know, if the backpack's open and they see it, right, they could have just taken the items out, but they took his backpack too. So they stole it from, they took it from him.
Yeah,
it's
but
just,
look,
it's complex.
This case is very complex, but let's just do a couple. I don't know if I can answer your question completely because it sounds like it would almost need some research, but let me just answer a few questions. Number one is that, you know, at the end of the day, Aaron, our security guard, is a private actor, right? Mm-hmm. So constitutionally, as far as like, I mean, you're not asking me about, is this a good case against the thief, right? But it probably would be a good case at the end of the day because Aaron is a private actor and there is no Fourth Amendment issue. Even if he's playing the role of a cop and he thinks he's a cop, he's not a cop, and the Fourth Amendment doesn't apply to him. The second thing is that there is a case called State versus Jensky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's 2004 by the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals, J-E-N-S-K-E, something like that. But it does say that... that if you have a person that you know, kind of commits a crime in a sense, like, you know, you're saying robbery, right? But their intent is to hand that evidence over to the police, then it's actually not a criminal act in Texas. The reason why that case came up is because you have also Code of Criminal Procedure 38.23, which is the one which says that if a citizen or a police officer commit a crime in the act of obtaining evidence, that evidence is not admissible at trial. It's a rule of procedure thing. It's not really for us on the street, but your courts were talking about, hey, what if it looks like a theft, right? Like, same situation here. It looks like we're stealing this kid's backpack because the thieves, right? And we're committing robbery, but it's actually not a robbery. Could the police do the same thing? Could they chase this guy and take his backpack and arrest him, right? And with the evidence and so forth. And
yeah, but we're on a different level than him.
Yeah, but it's not a crime though. At the end of the day, it's not necessarily a crime. What was the intent by Aaron to permanently deprive him of his property and never give it to you? Right? I mean, is he really have the mens rea that he's committing a crime? That he wants to.
I see that point. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want to steal this kid's backpack and sell on eBay like Amanda does with all her merchandise. He's helping you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to play the role of a security guard and trying to recover his, you know, the proprietor's, you know, info, right? So, or merchandise. So I just don't see, I'm not saying that the gun was lawful. I'm not saying that the tactics were not a civil issue.
Yeah. And I can appreciate your point. I like that point a lot. I really do. So that's a great argument. The only thing I don't like is this just doesn't seem proportional for a guy who stole a Slurpee and some bagel bites. We're having someone chase him with a gun to his apartment.
But Texas, you know, I don't know enough about Texas law because I know that Texas is pretty much the only state that that you can actually use deadly force to recover property. I mean, right. I mean, I mean, can I tell you my quick joke?
That's reasonable, but
I mean, it's Texas, man. And, you know, if I was the prosecutor with these very few facts, you know, it's a tough situation for the security guard to be in. He's trying to recover his property. He's trying to do it is a little heavy handed. And if he would have shot this kid, you know, it'd been
know,
all over.
Yeah. Him. Fuck. It would have been,
he might have been in prison because a civil jury might've found that he was excessive. But at the end of the day, you know, as far as charging with a crime, I mean, that's obviously up to you, but as far as that backpack issue, that is likely not, he doesn't have the mens rea to permanently deprive him. Number one. And as far as that gun issue, I don't know enough about the use of force and using guns to recover.
What I can tell you is it has to be reasonable. A reasonable person would have to agree that what he did was reasonable. And I don't see anybody agreeing that. I told him
he's fleeing. You know, he's going into a home. He can barricade. Look, I don't know. I'd be wasting your time just trying to analyze it, because I just don't know enough case law on that. I'm a search and seizure guy, but as far as that search and seizure issue, the robbery, I don't think occurred there. That's not, I don't think, against Texas law, right?
Well, you know what? I appreciate your time. Next time, I'm going to give you a real good traffic stop scenario. So okay. I appreciate you, though.
You're welcome. Much. And I'm just going to, while we're, so who's next? Are we going to get Walter on? I'm going to tell you my story about, because real quick. So Walter, I hope you want to ask the question, but in the meantime, look, so I was in Fort Worth, right? And I was teaching some officers search and seizure. And I heard about this whole, you can use deadly force to protect your property, right? Just like we've been talking about. So I went up to this trooper and I said, is it really true that, this is many, many years ago, like 10 years ago. Is it really true that you Texans can like use deadly force to protect your property? And the cop, the trooper said, Anthony, it's just like you said it. In fact, when I became a cop, and I told my family about all these rules, I said, hey, if somebody ever comes on your property and you end up shooting them, and you're not sure why you did it, just put a DVD player in their hands. All right. And with that, I think that stuff was, I mean, he had me dying laughing because Texans are pretty funny. Walter, do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
All right. That was a great webinar. Thank you for providing that. So I had a question. I had a scenario a couple months ago where we were at the, I work near a lake up here, and the water district runs the lake, and they had this call come out about a trespass. So we show up, and I guess the water district, it on the map, it does say it's public land, but the water district manages this parking lot at the launch ramp for boats, mm-hmm. and they manage the ingress and egress of all the traffic that comes in there. They had an issue where this guy comes in and he says that it's public land, that he's allowed to be in there, and that he can't be told to leave. And the water district had informed him that there was a sign at the front that said it's open for boating traffic only, which in other days when it's not as busy, they allow the public to do, they do park in there. But that particular day, they tried to tell him, no, we've changed it to boating traffic only. We've got a sign in the front. And he refused to leave after being told by the water district to leave. So based off of your webinar, they are the agent that is managing that public land. He was refused to leave. We got called and we were kind of stumped because when we checked it, like on a map called Onyx Maps, it does show that it's public land. So we're kind of stumped, but then we kind of went off of, well, they manage this they manage the ingress and egress of everybody that comes in there. So we told them, they want you trespass and you have to leave. He refused to leave. And that's when we kind of detained him. And based off of your, I think my question was, based off of what you had mentioned earlier, we were good to go ahead and detain him because he refused to leave, correct?
Yeah, but I do have concerns that, you know, at the end of the day, that's really is public lands, right? I mean, so you feel confident though, based on what you see out there, the signs, the personnel, that that water district owns that piece of land. That's not a piece of public land, right?
Well, on the map, it's charted to where they own up to like the water's edge. And then along the shoreline, it shows that it's public, but it is fenced. I mean, there's a fence that goes around the parking lot. They have a booth and a gate that they open and close. And then they have a booth that everyone has to drive by.
You have to pay money to get in there.
You don't have to pay money to get in there, but, it's, if they want to launch, they have to have a lake use permit, et cetera. Right. So they, it's like a, they call it a public launch ramp, but you do have to pay to be able to launch.
Right. You're paying them. You're paying the water district money.
Correct.
Okay, and it goes to them, right? It's not a public launch. It's at the end of the day, it's a private launch, right?
Essentially, yes, because it's run through the municipal water district.
Oh, but the municipality owns the lake. Ultimately, the lake is also government owned.
Correct.
And this guy wanted to just like do hikes and stuff like that. He just wants to park his car there and do some hikes.
Yeah, he's kind of almost like that, like phone in your face kind of auditor guy. But he's tried to say that he just wanted to park in there and walk his dog, but I mean, yeah, he was just causing a scene.
Look, I wish I had some of these issues are very murky. Okay. I can only tell you what I would have done. And you're not, this is not what you guys did. Personally, would not have enough confidence that that area is really private. It seems more like a public park, you know, in a public parking spot, you know, because the map Onyx said that that's a public property. And yes, therefore, if he wants to park there and use it for lawful purposes, like, well, I guess back up. So when he came in there, was it kind of clear that it was only for public, for boat launching, that like the signs are all like launching only, or was it?
There is a large sign that says for boating purposes, for boating parking only. So as you mentioned, he wasn't in there for boating related activity. So, and he was asked to leave.
Yeah. Look, that's probably what saved it for me, is that a reasonable person realized that at the end of the day, if it's for boating, he's not there boating. So he's not using that facility for its intended purpose, right?
Correct.
But I would be, if it wasn't for that fact, I would be kind of more hesitant on it and maybe reserve enforcement until I got more clarification from the city or whoever, that we actually can enforce trespass here for a guy who's simply using the facilities as a public person. You know what I mean? It, you know, it looks more like a park to me, like a parking spot for a park and a recreational area than, but you know, for public, you know, anyway, you right. But if it's for boating and that's what it says, then I guess it's, you know, I'd like to see what the prosecutor said on it though, because it seems a little murky.
Yeah, it was tough. But your webinar definitely helped me after today understand more things of what to look for. So no, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
I wish I had more black and white. You're welcome, Walter. Okay. One more question. Who wants to answer, ask one more question? And hopefully it's one that, okay, Chris. I might be able to get two, but let's see. I want to end by in 10 minutes. Chris. There you are. All right, Chris, and what state are you from?
I'm in Texas.
Nope. Hold on. The mic is really low.
Is that any better?
Yeah, that is a little better. Yeah. More like that. So what you got?
So going back to criminal trespassing, kind of a bone of contention among officers in this county is whether or not a person can be criminally trespassed from an entire apartment complex. The tenant technically is renting the apartment. Can the landlord tell the tenant who they can and can't have at their residence?
Yeah. This is a million-dollar question. I've tried to look up an answer on this because, you know, at the end of the day, the landlord cannot trespass people from inside the apartment, right? Because that's their guest, right? But the parking lot is part of the, you know, it's they own it and so forth. So here's what my prosecutors are saying. My prosecutors that I talked to about this issue are saying that yes, they can be trespassed. You know, for a legit reason, right? Again, we're looking for, you know, they're, you know, that they maybe sell drugs or they are harassing people, they're causing, you know, a disturbance, right? I've seen cases where the guest is like he bumps his music constantly when he visits his friends. And the landlord has told him, you know, the property manager says, hey, you got to turn that down. You're disturbing people. He's like, I'm not going to turn it down. And they get trespassed. And I got to tell you, my prosecutors that I'm talking to, they are upholding it. And it's, you know, it is what it is. Like, they have control over that parking lot. And if he can land by a hot air balloon onto the roof of that apartment and get in that way, he's fine. But he's kind of, unfortunately, overstayed his welcome. And he, you know, the landlord still has, you know, control over those common areas.
Okay.
But I would like it to be, you know, legit, you know, I mean, I'm sure it's all legit, right? But I would like it to be something more than, like, personally me, like, cause I have discretion, right? You know, you have discretion too. You don't have to enforce everything people tell you. Right. But right. You know, if somebody had like an ego contest, you know what I'm saying? Like, They just got, they got a little mad at each other, the manager and this guest, and they had a little, and he's like, I want him out of here. But the guest, the tenant's like, no, that's my best friend. That's my cousin. That's whatever. My girlfriend, my boyfriend. I would personally be very careful on, I might use discretion and like, hey, look, just drop it. Let the people visit each other. But the guy who's a chronic nuisance, I think you're going to have, I think the courts are going to back you up on that. Otherwise, there's nothing they, and if we don't allow that, then the landlord or the property manager can never do anything about those nuisances, those people that cause a nuisance. And I don't think that's the right answer either.
Right. All right. Thank you.
You're from Texas, right?
I am. I'm okay, up in the northeast corner, almost to Texarkana.
Oh, love it. I love it. I've been, I love visiting Texas. I was thinking your axis was Texas or New Jersey. And I just wanted to make sure I had that right.
Oh my gosh.
No, I'm joking. All right, Chris. Thank you, my friend. And then one last, let's do Chris. One more Chris, and then we're done for the day. You're welcome, Amanda. Okay.
Hi. I was had a question. I actually had an incident over the 4th of July weekend regarding fireworks and criminally trespassing someone. I work in private sector, doing contracting with local law enforcement, government contracting. Mm-hmm. And
what state?
Had an issue, Virginia.
Okay.
And I had an issue with one of the firework stands. One of the employees set off a firework next to the stand on private property. Property management got the complaints. They asked me to, dispatch asked me to go over. And property management wanted them to trespass from the property. But the partnering law enforcement agency that I was working with said that they couldn't be criminally trespassed for that because they weren't breaking the law. But I didn't understand how they wouldn't be able to be criminally trespassed based off of the ownership of the property wanted them removed and from the property.
I do not know what they're talking about there. I've never heard of any state. I'm going to try to get some in the line here. I'm going to call a friend real quick that will actually know the answer on here. But so you're saying that the property that they want to be trespassed from is what kind of property?
It's a private property, commercial property.
Okay. Hold on. Let me see if he answers, I'll put him on speaker. But he's one of my... Hey, I'm on the search and seizure show. Yeah, I know you couldn't attend because you were teaching, but one of the attendees here has a question, and it's a Virginia law question, and I want to put you on speaker and have you answer it. Okay, okay. All right, hold on 1 second. All right, so this is Zach Miller. Zach Miller. Okay, Zach Miller is one of my instructors, and the reason why I brought him on is that he also was a Virginia police officer for many years. Until he retired to become a full-time instructor. So, Zach, real quick, okay? 4th of July, there's a fireworks stand on a piece of property, and they, and then Chris, if I get anything that's wrong, you let me know, but they, one of the employees lights a firework on another piece of property, right? A private
the
commercial.
Same property.
Oh, same property.
Next to the fireworks stand.
But hold on, how did they must have had permission to be on the property to begin with then.
They did have permission from property management to sell fireworks, but it was the fact that he set off the fireworks next to the stand, within 10 feet of the stand, next to vehicles that were parked and everything.
So now they
property management wanted them gone.
All of them? Right, all of them.
Just the employee.
Oh, just the employee. Okay, good, good, good. We're on the same page. So look, Zach, they're on this commercial property. They have permission to be there, sell their fireworks. One of the employees, pisses off the manager of the property, and he lights off fireworks on the property. It's not part of the rules, right, Zach? And then the police are called. I mean, this Chris is a contractor, but the police are called, and they're like, no, we cannot trespass that employee because no crime has been committed. So
they want him removed, or they want the police to just tell him he can't come back?
Tell him you trespass him. Hey, you overstayed your welcome. You're lighting off fireworks. You know, your other friends can stay and still sell their fireworks, but you got to get gone. And they're saying,
or get arrested.
And according to, Chris, the cops are saying that the Virginia officers are saying that they can't do that because no crime has been committed. Like lighting a firework on the property is not a crime, but that's not the point. The point is the manager wants them gone, right?
Yeah, I think he's confusing two things. Under Virginia law, trespassing, statutory trespassing is the elements of the crime where you have to been told to, you know, given notice that you're not allowed on the property. And obviously, if you're currently on the property, a reasonable amount of time to leave.
Correct.
And if you refuse to do so or you come back, that's trespassing.
Correct.
That's the crime.
Exactly. So I don't know where they're getting. I just want to make sure because it made no sense to me. But yeah, yeah.
So there is a provision in the Code of Virginia that allows for private property owners to give power of attorney to the police to ban people from the property. And maybe the banning requires them to have committed a crime to be banned by the police. But
right.
That's not the same thing.
Not the same thing. We're just talking about, because I did a trespassing webinar. We're just talking about good old fashioned trespass, you know, you got to get gone. I mean, you overstayed your welcome. Right. You pissed off the manager of the property. Leave.
Right. No, yeah, absolutely.
All right, Chris.
Yeah, there hasn't been any issues prior to this with trespassing anybody from any of the private properties that, you know, I'm patrolling or anything. And no one has to have committed a crime. They may be loitering or, you know, just causing a nuisance.
Correct.
So that's why I was just so confused on to why the officer that came out to assist me had stated that he hadn't committed a crime, so he couldn't be banned or trespassed.
Correct. You don't have to commit crimes to be trespassed. By definition, you're trying to prevent a crime, which is get out of here. Yeah, I mean, you know, like, you commit the crime by staying. You know, you don't commit the crime by being told to leave. Hey, look, I think that's Chris, I think that's a great scenario. I'm glad you brought that up. But yeah, that seems like a confusion on the officer's part. You don't need a crime to get trespassed. You can get trespassed because your hair is orange.
More of a matter of safety.
Yeah, exactly. We talked about you can't get trespassed in a public area for protect the class, right? But this, there's no protection on lighting fireworks on private property. Hey, so Chris, thank you. And I'm going to ask, since I have Zach on the phone, hey, Chris, you have anything else? I think we answered your question, though, right?
No, that you guys answered it well. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, my friend. All right. So, Zach, real quick, before I end this webinar. So I was asked a question about from a cop from Texas about, hey, look, you know, the property manager at an apartment complex wants to trespass a particular guest, right? Not a tenant, obviously, but, you know, a guest, right? Somebody who's, let's say, bumping music, you know, or causing, you know, issues at the apartment complex. And can they trespass that person from the entire complex, which would in effect make it, you know, impossible, unless they can fly, for them to visit their friend? My answer was yes. But it's, you know, it is what it is, you know, just, you know, if you don't like it, go to court, I guess. But do you have any, do you see it the same way, or do you have another view on that?
I see it the same way. As I mean, if you're the owner of the property, and as long as you're not trespassing them for there's federal law that as a place that provides public accommodation, you can't discriminate.
Correct.
As well.
Correct.
But yeah, for other than that, you're violating our noise.
Yep.
Ordinance, for lack of a better term. Yeah. Yep. I don't see any reason why you can't. I'm sorry that you can't see your friends and family, but you got to follow our rules.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay, good. I just want to make sure we're on the same page. All right. Thank you, Zach. I'm going to, I wish I had you on here earlier, but you just probably finished your class. So,
I did. Just drive back right now.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate your answer, man. Thank you. I know the people on the webinar appreciate it too. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Bye. All right, guys. Well, there you have it. So I really appreciate you guys. Hopefully, let me see if I can get you guys to one more last time. Hold on. Okay. One last time to hopefully give me some feedback for my instructor page and also the class page. And all right, magic, just like that. All right, thank you guys. And also follow us on social media. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Stay safe, and I'll see you hopefully next week. Thank you, Manuel.